Tonight we're going to talk about how to stay little in leadership. If you've ever been given something great, some kind of authority or some kind of blessing, success, and you are allowed to have what most of the world doesn't have, success and even some comforts in life, my question is, do you think you're something because of that? Do you think there's something special about you because of your great favor? I want to remind you that there's nothing great about anyone here. There's nothing great about anyone on this earth. We're here not for ourselves. That's the problem, isn't it? That's the problem that Adam and Eve had. They switched the ultimate purpose of their life from being about God to being about them. And tonight, we need to remember that this world, this life, everything that we are receiving, it's not for us. It's to give back to God. How do you stay little in advancement? How do you stay little in leadership, in prosperity, in promotion? Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Someone who's got everything going well for them, it's very hard for them to trust God. Now, in adversity, it's totally different. If you're going through adversity today, you know that it's much easier to draw near to God in adversity than it is when, man, everything is easy. Before we turn to Nehemiah chapter 5, which is our text, I want you to look over at Asaph's psalm in Psalm 75. Asaph wrote 12 psalms. This is one of them. And this psalmist of Israel was one of the few believers who, by the grace of God, knew how to handle advancement. He wrote in Psalm 75 and verse 5, lift not up your horn on high. In other words, don't toot your own horn as if your strength is your own. That's what he's saying. Don't lift your horn up on high. This was given to you from God. He says, don't speak with a stiff neck. In other words, don't well up with pride and stiffen your neck and put up your nose as if you're part of the elite, as if you're special. For promotion or advancement or success cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. In other words, it's not a matter of luck that you're prospering. It doesn't come from the east, west. It's not a matter of chance and luck. But behind every promotion and behind every success is the sovereign hand of God. You are the recipient of undeserved blessing and prosperity. You don't deserve it. God is the judge, he says. And he putteth down one and setteth up another. Now, of course, unbelievers will never see it this way. To them, promotion, success, comes by being at the right place, at the right time, scratching the right person's back. They call that luck. You know, I was just at the right place at the right time. It was totally chance. But the Bible has a different message. The message of the Bible is that behind every promotion is the sovereign hand of God. Behind every success is the omnipotent hand of God. I want to ask you a question. Have you given thanks to God for your successes? Because it wasn't because of your brilliance. Who gave you your brilliance? Don't well up with pride. If there's anything in you, it's from God. You have nothing to boast of, as Paul says. What do you have to boast of if it's a gift to you? It was God who lifted Joseph from an Egyptian dungeon to be prime minister. And God can take you wherever you're at today. I don't care what misery you're at. He could tomorrow decide to totally change that. It doesn't have to do with all of your charisma. It has to do with His sovereign plan and His graciousness towards you. Remember that God gave to this man in the Old Testament a whole lot of things. You remember his name? He had a beautiful family. He had beautiful riches and houses, and they were having a birthday party, and suddenly everything was gone. What was his name? Job. His children were celebrating, and all of a sudden they were gone, and all of a sudden his cattle, his riches were all gone. Just as quickly as God can give us something, He can take it away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you remember a man by the name of Daniel, and almost overnight he goes from slavery to being the king's cupbearer? What influenced? Remember overnight the same king Nebuchadnezzar went from being this brilliant conqueror to acting as a cow in the field? It is God who promotes and it's God who demotes. Remember Amos, who was a faithful fig-picking farmer? And overnight, he became God's prophet. God can take you from wherever you are and use you in whatever way that He wants to use you. But tonight we're going to find out that to be used of God, there are certain things that we need to remember. And we're going to learn that in Nehemiah chapter 5. Would you turn there? Because God promotes Nehemiah from being Artaxerxes' cupbearer to being the governor of his homeland. What a promotion this was. And there had been previous governors of Judah. And you're going to find out tonight that they didn't have a very good record for loving the people. We're going to find out that they were there as leaders using the gifts and the promotions of God to their own benefit instead of serving the mission of God, which for them was building the wall so that there could be a people of God. They're worshiping God, but instead they got their eyes off of the goal of the glory of God, and they became self-serving. Don't you all have this temptation, as I do, to become self-serving with the gifts of God? I mean, we are given so much, and we act as if it is owed to us, but it's not. It's all a gift. Think of how blessed you are. Pinch me, because I think I'm dreaming. Look at this beautiful life that God has given us. Look at the sorrow around the world. Now, be very sober about this, because this is all God's that He's given to us. It's not our own. And we need to use it for His glory. We need these reminders. Well, the first principle I want you to understand concerning success and promotion is this. To be used of God in your success, we must accept responsibility for the mission God has called us to. I want you to look at verse 14 in Nehemiah chapter 5. This is from the pen of Nehemiah. He says, "Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, and then he tells what he did, and the rest of the chapter unfolds. What is implied and self-evident in this verse is that when the opportunity to become governor came before Nehemiah, he accepted that responsibility. What you're going to find out is there was a whole lot of things that Nehemiah did, a whole lot of changes that he made, probably a whole lot of bickering that he endured during that time. Because when he was appointed, he accepted the responsibility. How many of you, when you're asked to do something for the church or for your job or for your family, you say, "I'm going to do it"? There are some of you that I can ask, and I'm afraid to ask you to do something because I know you're God's servant. And if me being in the place that I am, you know, Ephesians chapter 4 says that God appointed certain men. And I didn't ask for this. But God said, "I think I'm going to go down to Louisiana to find this guy who has no direction in his life, and I'm going to give him some direction." And he just plucked me up and put me in Spain and put me here. And he gave some prophets and apostles and pastors and teachers. Evangelists are also in there. And here we are. And I'm going to ask you at times to do something. And you know, you have the same temptation that I have. Well, let's see. I've been asked to do something, and I've got 10,000 other things screaming for my attention. Am I going to say yes, or am I going to say no? Am I going to say yes? Because if I do, I have to be wise in how I deal with my time. If I say yes to something, I'm saying no to something else. So, if I say yes, I've got to be wise. I can't just neglect other responsibilities. Nehemiah accepted the responsibility of God's mission. I want to ask you a question. How do the priorities line up in your life? What is the mission for your life? Does it revolve around some secondary things, or does it revolve around what Christ wants for you? And I want to encourage you to accept responsibility, not be negligent in areas that you should never neglect, but I want you to have the courage to step out and say yes to something. You know, sometimes we don't say yes to something because, first of all, we don't want to mess anything up. Sometimes we don't like to be stretched. What are some other things, excuses that we use we don't want to say yes to something. What are some excuses that we might say? We don't have time. Anybody have just a bunch of time they don't know what to do with? Brother Mike? Too tired. You think Nehemiah might have been too tired? Yeah, I think he might have been very tired. Tired people rule the world, they say. What else? Don? Oh, my husband won't let me. Now that's legitimate now. Ladies, obey your husbands. What are some excuses, other excuses that we might use? My wife won't let me. Now that's not, that is definitely an excuse. There are 10,000 excuses that we could use, but the truth of the matter is, I'm not comfortable with it. It's too much. I have self-interest in this. I want to be more comfortable in my life. And this is taking away my comfort. I wanted to spend my time on me, not on the church or on this family or on this coworker that needs my attention. I don't want to take my time and use it somewhere else. I want to use my time for me. The real reason that we don't serve is because we're so full of self-interest. Now, to be used of God, we must accept responsibility and be grown-ups. We need to be mature and accept the responsibility for the mission that God has called us to. And that mission means, secondly, that we're going to have to sacrifice. That's the second point. Promotion brings privileges to us when we say yes to something that we're going to need to sacrifice. He says in verse 14, I was appointed and I served 12 years as the governor of Judah. But look at the last part of the verse. He says, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. In other words, there were perks for the governor. He was a regent. He had the authority of the king. He wasn't a duly elected official. Everything proceeded from the king. And because of that, there was in Israel before him a great abuse of that privilege. And so there were high taxes. There was abuse of the monetary benefits for the governor. And he said, you know what? I am going to make a sacrifice with the privileges that I have, and I'm not going to use my place to serve myself and get fat and happy. I'm going to use my privileges to serve these people. Now, you know what this is all about. If you're a mom, and you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know what you love to do. You love to clean up, throw up, right? No. But because you are a mom, you sacrifice what you really want to do for the greater mission, which is to clean up the throw up of your child and raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and serve them and show them what a loving, godly mother is going to do. Come on, you know about personal sacrifice. If you're married and you want to remain married, you know that you must sacrifice. You know that the goal of Christian unity in marriage trumps your self-serving desires. If God has given you children, you know that their needs are going to have to be put ahead of your needs. Everything you need to know about great leadership, you can learn from a great mother. It's true. Because she's got a job to do. And there are so many things flying at her all day that she's got to make snap decisions, and she's always putting everyone else before herself. Her children, her husband. And she rarely has free time. Now you single people are saying, like, you know, I think singleness is great. I think I'm going to stay single. And you know, Paul said the same thing. There really is better to be single in many ways. It really is, because there are not all those distractions. You got to become nothing if you're a mother. And the same thing is true in leadership. In any kind of promotion that God gives you, any kind of success, you're given it not so that you can serve yourself, but so that you can be like a mother and serve others, and serve everyone else. In your workplace, you're not there to serve yourself. You're not there simply to get a paycheck like the rest of your coworkers. Your motive should not be that. You're there to serve the best interests of your coworkers and your boss. And as a Christian, that ought to be your mentality. You ought not to worry about the money. God will take care of the money. You ought to say in your heart, I'm not just here to do a good job. I do want to do that. That's the best interest of my boss. But I also want to serve my coworkers. I want to help them be the best worker that they can be. Now understand that there are great temptations when God gives you success. All the temptations that Nehemiah had were there. The people that were before him abused the system. The governors, as we're going to read, that were before him, totally abused the system. And what you're going to see is there's a whole bunch of people in the same successful situation that you're in that abuse the system. And if you want an excuse to do wrong, they're all over the place. Beware of that temptation to compare yourself with someone else and say, well, I might be abusing the system, but I'm not abusing the system as much as so-and-so is. What you need to do is be very afraid and compare yourself with God and bring yourself into account before Him and use all of the benefits that you have for those that need you. If you're a Sunday school teacher, it's easy some weeks, isn't it, to take for granted that you are not simply teaching a class. You are preparing the hearts of children for Christ, for a dwelling place, for the Almighty, for His Son. And for those children who know Christ, you are forming their hearts into the image of Christ. What you're doing is not simply teaching a class like algebra or geometry, but you're doing something awesome. As a mother or father, if you're here in that situation with children, it's easy to forget what a joy and privilege it is to be a dad and a mom. Many people cannot have children. You have a child in your care. It's easy to abuse our authority and speak wrongly to our children, or to be self-serving in our home as if our children were there to be our servants. No, we're there to set the example and serve them in the right order. We don't ever compromise the authority of the home. It never becomes a child-focused home, but there ought to be a respect in your voice when you speak to your child. There ought to be a love when you speak to your child. And that's why when there's a really high voice or a strained voice or an irritated voice that comes from me, I have to put myself in check and say that ought never to happen. The only time I should use that kind of a voice is if my child is in danger. Maybe God has prospered you with financial security, and you may take it for granted and not give according to your increase to Christian causes, to the local church. Listen, if God gave it to you, He can take it away. Isn't that right? Paul says to the Corinthians, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. That language is not there by accident. It says, let him lay by him in store. That was colloquial for saying, you need to tithe. Because they would tithe to the storehouse. And so to lay by him in store, that's a colloquial expression that means, hey, you should give the first part of your increase to God. Of course, they were helping Paul in this manner. They were using the funds for poor saints in Jerusalem. Now, here's the third principle here. We talked about promotion. When we receive it, we need to accept it. We need to accept the challenge that we're given. And then when we get that challenge, when we get that success, when we're asked to do this or that, and we're given that favor by God, we need to use it in a sacrificial way like a mother does for her children. Now, here's the third point. Promotion is scary because sometimes if you're promoted into a certain position, there are policies that need to be changed and people feel threatened. Isn't that right? Because we would rather go the way we've always gone and do the things we're comfortable with rather than do what's right sometimes and change. Look at verse 15. This was comfortable. This would have been comfortable for Nehemiah to continue this bad policy. Verse 15, it says, "But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine beside 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I, because of the fear of God." There are some things we need to change back to a biblical standard that are not biblical. There's always going to be things that fall in churches, that fall in our personal relationship with God. We've started doing something a certain way, and it's lost its meaning. And we've got to wake up and go back to the Lord. There are things that we've got to say, no, we're not going to change this. The standard is not what we've always done. What's the standard, brethren? What God has said. It's not what we've always done. Tradition doesn't trump the Word of God. It's great if we have a tradition, if it's godly. But it's not great if we have a tradition, if it's distracting, or if it's not godly. And we need to be willing, first of all, to stand by that which we cannot compromise. We need to be willing to take the criticism. We need to be willing to take the pressure. And that may mean that you lose your job. Maybe you're in a job that requires you to lie about taxes. There's a couple people that I could name in our congregation that have been in that situation before. You need to refuse to hide your income, because that's godly. And that may they may say, we've always done it this way. Well, it doesn't matter. In this situation, you may lose your job. That's okay. Your boss is not your ultimate employer. The CEO of the universe is your maker and your savior, Jesus Christ. And long after your boss is in dead and in the ground, Jesus Christ is still going to be in control. And you better bow the knee to Him now in your job and do what's right. We need to be willing to stand by that which we cannot compromise. We cannot compromise the gospel message. We cannot compromise holy living. We cannot compromise those things. But, secondly, we need to be willing to step out of our comfort zone and change things that need to be changed back to a biblical standard. And every generation has to evaluate this. It's easy to stay in our comfort zones. Nehemiah was willing to be unpopular. He definitely would be popular with the people. What he wouldn't be popular with would be the heathen governors around him that were visiting him, who had a big allowance, who came in with their chariots, and they were pampered. And here is Nehemiah, and he's looking just like the people. What's up with this? Don't you know your position? You're going to lose your respect. That's the pressure that was on Nehemiah's shoulders. And you know what he said? I was there 12 years and I never pampered myself. I worked right alongside with the people. The people love Nehemiah. And if you're that kind of a leader, the people that you have influence over are going to love you. So, here's a fourth thing, and this is a warning. Promotion sometimes blinds us to what is right. You get a little bit of success going your way, a little bit of financial prosperity, and you start getting dull and numb. It blinded many of Nehemiah's predecessors. I want you to look at Nehemiah 5, and let's look at verse 15. The former governors that were before me were chargeable unto the people. And they took from them their bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver. Even their servants bear rule over the people. In other words, the servants of these governors had power over the people. But he said, I didn't do this. Why? Why didn't he do it? Because of what? Because of the fear of God. Well, the other governors probably around him were saying, you know, they've always done it this way. You're gonna lose your respect among the governors and even among the people. They expect you to do this. But Nehemiah said, I had to make a change because of the fear of God. I'm not that important, Nehemiah says. I fear God. I'm going to stand before God one day, and that is an awesome responsibility. Now, here's the fifth thing we need to understand, that God promotes us for a reason. He gives you success for a reason. And it is to serve His mission, not to be self-serving. God will give you financial success. He will give you popularity at times. He will give you just wisdom in your job, as He did with Joseph. He will prosper you at times. And He does that for a specific purpose. It's not so that you can be comfortable on this earth. That's not God's purpose for you. God's purpose is His mission, His glory, and His Son. Look at verse 16. He says, you know, I served the people during this time. And he says, yea, also I continued in the work of this wall. Neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. He kept the work right before him. His mission was not to be a governor, people. His mission was to build the wall. And the reason God made him the governor was to build the wall. And sometimes we get the promotion and we go, hey, yeah, I got the promotion. I got the success. And you're comfortable and this is the goal. And it becomes idolatrous. The goal is not your success. God gives you success to serve a higher goal. The goal is the glory of God. And so if you are given success, the American dream is this. Success is the goal. Success is the end. Success is the reason I'm living. I want a big 401k so that I can retire in Florida and collect seashells. Or California, or Hawaii, someplace where the weather is mild. Arizona. Have some Arizona people here tonight. They're getting under conviction. I'm just kidding. But that's not... There are people that are lost in Arizona and Hawaii. I had a missionary friend from Hawaii. I said, how can that... If that's a contradiction. How can you be a missionary to Hawaii? There are people in Hawaii that need to be saved. Amen? Now you're all signing up to some missionary institute. You want to go to Hawaii, be a missionary. But listen, the goal is not our comfort. The goal is the glory of God. And if God has given you some success in life, you're to use it for His glory. That's a high responsibility that God has given you. And so Nehemiah knew that his goal wasn't to be the governor and to get the accolades of the heathen princes around him. The goal was to use his governorship with everything that he had to build those walls so that God could build a people that would worship His name. Now, look at verses 16 and 17 of this chapter. Nehemiah used his power and success not for himself, but for the people. He says, moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, beside those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Here he had these heathen princes. Now that which was prepared for me daily was one ox, an entire ox, and six choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days store of all sorts of wine. Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon the people. In other words, Nehemiah is saying the fire in the kitchen never went out. The cooks were cooking all the time. There were thousands of people coming in and going out. And this was a huge responsibility. And there was no way I was going to touch any of my privileges, because in order to feed all these people, these people were exhausted and they were doing their all. And I wasn't going to put a further burden on them. It's easy to think that we are on this earth for our own comfort, but that is just not the case. Our goal is to promote Christ. If we are promoted, we need to use that promotion to promote Jesus Christ. And we need to have the attitude that Paul had in Philippians 3:8. He gives his pedigree. He gives his accomplishments. He says, I speak like a foolish man in Philippians 3. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I got the best education. I've had success in everything. But look at verse 8 of Philippians 3. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. What is all this prosperity? What is all this success in the light of eternity? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Listen, the world compared to your soul is a pile of dung. Your soul is eternal. You have an immortal soul, and very soon you're approaching the presence of God, your judge. And if you're in Christ, you know, one of the revelations that comes when you get born again is that this world is quite worthless. And whatever God gives us in this world, we're to use as a tool for His glory. Anything in this world is not an end of itself. We're forbidden from that. That's idolatry. Nothing should take the place of God. So we should count it all as dung in and of itself, as an end in and of itself. But we should use the gifts and the prosperity that God gives us, but never let those gifts and prosperity take the place of the giver. Conclusion. Here's the conclusion, verse 19. Nehemiah led in such a way that he had a blameless heart before God. There was nothing in his conscience that condemned him. Look at verse 19. He says, think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. In other words, his integrity, his conscience were blameless. And he called God to account for him. That's very convicting to me. And I want to ask you to look upon your life and compare it to Christians in other lands. Look at your prosperity. And I want you to search yourself, and as I search myself, and see where we all are guilty of enjoying the prosperity instead of using the prosperity for God. Now, there is an enjoyment in all of that God gives us, but let's not use it for self-service. Let's use it for the glory of God. Before we pray, I want us to sing number 353. Let's stand together, and then we're going to pray. But let's sing number 353.